your minds, imbibe what God has been doing. Tonight we're going to talk about unified for the purpose of his welfare. Man, this thing has just been exploding in my spirit, tremendously exploding. And I've been taking some blows from the enemy along the way because he doesn't want the utterance on this, and he doesn't want us to really see it for what it's really, really worth. We've been talking about, obviously, the welfare of God, which comes out of peace. And again, we're beginning a lot of word that there's an exchange going on. God is wanting for us to connect into his welfare system, for it goes far and beyond anything that we could ever achieve. It goes way beyond it. In the Webster's Dictionary, welfare is noted as the state of doing well, especially in respect to good fortune. It means happiness, well-being, or prosperity. That does come out of the welfare. The state of doing well comes out of being on God's welfare system. The respect of good fortune, all of that, happiness, all of that, except we'll take happiness out and put joy in. And it's aid. It means the aid in the form of money. And I believe that this is what creates in the kingdom. It creates the state of doing well and good fortune. It's the aid that we get from God in the form of money or necessities for those in need. All right. It's something that we talked about as we know in the United States, people are on welfare. Well, it goes up and down depending upon who you're talking to. Some people want to be on it. Some people don't. Some people frown on it. But nevertheless, God is calling us all into his welfare system. It also means an agency or administration or program through which such aid is distributed. And I like that because God's administration, his commonwealth, is his administration. And God has this in place for us. In fact, if you really want the truth of it, we got to be connected to God's welfare system. We've got to be. There's so many reasons that we need to be and we have to be. First of all, we can't be caught trusting in the world, trusting in carnal things or natural means. That's not it, because he said, I'll have no other God before me. And so we have to come in to a place where we are established in God's welfare. And that comes from being joined in his peace. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So when we became joined unto the Father through the propitiation of Christ, we essentially were placed on welfare. Praise God. His aid in the form of money and necessities became ours. We've been talking about prosperity, and that's the side. We're still dealing with that in the place of peace. We've been talking about favor flowing through his peace. Well, the subject, as the Lord told us before, it continues in the form of welfare. All right. Now, here we've been talking about last week about the unity that they came in the book of Acts. We've been looking at it. We've been seeing it. We see how through the unity that they were in, the unity of the Spirit, we see an explosion of God's welfare because they were so unified to the Spirit. And that's basically our subject for tonight. That's what we really want to accent and really drive home, is it was because of that unity that caused them to see such mighty moves, incredible things. I mean, incredible things. And so we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Don't mind my numbering, it's a little bit off. But we're going to look at this here, and we're going to see something, I believe, that is going to bless you immensely. All right? It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy, of the vocation wherewith you have been called. All right? To walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness. Excuse me. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. All right, we learned that last week. We learned about that, and it was really, really enlightening to us that we endeavor by studying, and in the study, we stay in the unity of the Spirit, which now it is revealing the bond of peace. And in that bond of peace is revealed prosperity, favor, and welfare. All right? So we stay in the study. We stay in the unity of the Spirit by the study, and we are in the bond of peace. We're not trying to unify one with another. We're not playing this fake church game, trying to be down with each other, because that's what Christians are supposed to do. No, we are having authentic unity because we are individuals that are unified with the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen if you can hear me.
Amen. Amen. All right?
Because we're unified as individuals. Now we're unified as a body. And that's what we're looking at tonight, because that's what God is looking to do. He is looking, yes, he'll bless you individually, but the plan that we're going to see is for us together to walk in oneness. And the only thing that brings us into this oneness is the study that the Holy Spirit is giving us, is the Rhema word that he's giving us. As we stay in it together, we stay unified to him. And now being unified to him as individuals causes us corporately to be unified. God wants to bless the corporate, the body. He wants the body blessed. Don't get me wrong. He'll take care of you individually. But his goal through Christ is to unify us. All right? So we were called into a vocation. And it says here in verse 4, there is one body. This is where it kicked off for me. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. So there's only one body and one Spirit. One body. And I started to think about that. If there's only one body, there's only one head. There's only one mind in that head. That is the head. Christ is the head. And therefore, his mind is computing to the body. So in order to be in true unity, the head, which is Christ, which is the Rhema word, has to be in place.
Amen. Amen.
And listen, listen, listen. All of my ligaments move because of my head telling them what to do. My head communicates, and everybody's heard this before. Anybody in Christendom has heard this, and it's absolutely the truth. Well, this is how it works in the Rhema. I'm going to fast forward a little bit. This is why there was such an explosion in the book of Acts, because the head was communicating. He was communicating to them. And every time he added souls, he began to communicate to those souls. And they were in oneness. Amen. Under the same rhema, hearing the same word. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. It says one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Everything is about oneness, being divinely connected ultimately to the will of the Father, ultimately to the mind of the Father through Christ our Lord. And everybody should be moving in the same way. Everybody should be staying. And I'm telling you now, you're going to call me crazy. You can say I'm trying to build a cult. I am not. I'm trying to build the body through the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So he's calling us to be in a place of oneness. This is what causes the bond of peace. The bond of peace is the outpouring of the welfare of God. In fact, it says walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we were called. The word vocation we know from, I believe it was Sunday, it means invitation to a feast. It means the divine invitation to embrace salvation of God. It's basically talking to us about walking in the fullness of his welfare, walking in his administration for him to take care of you. You have an invite to the feast. You have an invite to embrace salvation that is of God, that every area of your life becomes saved. All right, so the Lord has called us into his salvation, which presents itself as a feast. The unity of the Spirit is kept in the bond of peace. We all know that his peace opens the realm of wealth. It opens up his benefits, his favor, his prosperity, his welfare. The unity of the Spirit is the key to receiving the Lord's welfare. So in essence, his peace stabilizes unity, and unity stabilizes peace. Isn't that right, Elder Donna?
Amen.
They work hand in hand. That when I'm established in peace, I'm now moving in welfare. And as I'm moving in welfare, it looks back to stabilize peace itself. Yeah. Because I'm under his aid, I'm under his benefits, I'm under his healing power, I'm under his anointing. They work together. All right. Now, we've been predestined for oneness. We've been predestined for oneness. And when I'm talking about oneness, I am talking about us. Everybody under the sound of my voice, everybody that's a part of this ministry, everybody that's walking as a member of TGM. Whatever sect of the body that we are, we've been called to move together in it. This vineyard, this house, has a word, and we've been all called to live under the word. And as we come into unity in this word, there's an outpouring that comes of the welfare of God. God wants us all on one accord. He wants us all moving in the same manner. We've heard this for years, and it's absolutely the truth. It's absolutely the truth. Jesus said it like this in John 17, 20 through 23. It says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory, verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. You see, the importance of Jesus stressing oneness. Unfortunately, the church takes this and they run with it. And they become, there's more heretic, and there's more backbiting, and there's so much, man, there's so much lying and so much mess. But then they turn, and we turn, and we smile, because we've been taught that while we're here, we've got to be one. And we walk in a pseudo oneness. He's stressing oneness here, because I have a revelation behind why. Because if we touch a place of true oneness, it means we become one with him. It means we become one with him. He's stressing oneness as a body, because the only way to get there is by him and through him.
Amen.
He said, I in them and thou in me. Why? Because if they get to the I in them, they'll be made perfect in one. It's me. If they get to me who's in them, then they will be made perfect in one. And again, TGM, we know it's by the rhema word. People that are coming on the line are really amazed at how everybody has the same sound coming out of their mouth. And they're full of power, full of revelation, full of rhema. It's like fire shut up in all of our bones. Well, this oneness that's here is trying to create an atmosphere of God's welfare to be poured out on the entire ministry.
Amen.
He wants to bless the whole entire house. He wants to heal the house. He wants to deliver the house. He wants to prosper the house. He wants to take us in the place of oneness. Bless us. And the prophecy is, they will say, where did they come from? Where did they come from?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. God wants us moving like that. He wants to create something extraordinarily special here and he wants to use us. And I know tonight is a prophetic word from the Lord. I know it is. It's been in my spirit in the form of prophecy. That God wants to show us off. But we got to get to the I in them. We got to get to the I, and we stay with the I through the rhema word. And that way we're made perfect as a whole unit moving in one. I'm going to show you the purpose of it. We're going to go ahead and frame out Acts 2 and 4 again. The power of unity. The power of oneness is revealed in Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 45, which we read. But my goodness, it's here on a whole nother level tonight. It says in Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 45, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Why? Because they were in oneness. They were in oneness. They were unified to the Spirit of God by the Word of God. Wonders and signs show up. And all that believed were together and had all, I feel your Holy Ghost, and had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. We see again what we've been seeing as we've been reading it, the welfare of God that has come. There were 3,000 souls here added. 3,000 souls stayed continually in the doctrine of the apostles. They stayed in fellowship.
Amen.
They breaking of bread and prayers. Fear, reverence came upon every soul there, and boom, there's an outbreak of God's welfare through wonders and signs. Simultaneously, we see an outpour of wealth, but the wealth came because they were all in the right mindset. Healing came in finances, because they all, somebody hear me tonight, they were all in the same mindset. I reflect back on what Elder Allison taught the other day, which was absolutely mind-blowing and awakening to even to my spirit and my soul. It awoken me in a mighty way that coming out of Egypt, the Egyptians that got their strength taken from them, their firstborn. Their first fruit was broken, destroyed. That was their strength of hand. And God moved the children of Israel out by their strength of hand and commanded them that they, not commanded, but told them that they should worship him and honor him with everything that is first, that would open the matrix, whether it be man or beast. And now their minds are settled here. And what God is doing is severing them from their own strength. And I find that amazing that excerpt would come in at such Amen. A time like this, because Amen. Listen, we may never have the mind. We may never, I wish and I pray that we do have a mind elevated enough that if the Holy Spirit said, sell everything you have and distribute it to all in your ministry and all that have need. Listen, this is not a ploy for me telling you to do this. This is a hope that we could ever reach a place that we would hear God like this and be submitted to the word like that.
Amen.
Can you imagine? The reason why the church can't, that would never do this, we read it and we get fascinated. The reason why that we can't, the Holy Spirit couldn't minister this word, not because I can't say whether it's a necessity, but I know this, and I think if you all check your own hearts and minds, and I'm not blaming you as individuals, but you would see and look and judge the body righteously and say, we're not in position to be able to do that. We're not in a place of oneness to do that. I told Mom the other day, I was telling Elder Donna the other day, listen, every time I'm about to give and worship, the enemy tries to minister to me about something else that I could use and do. He's trying to keep me connected to the strength of this world. He doesn't want me coming into the oneness of the mindset of God. So when I get into the word and I get propitiated, I'm freely able to release and worship him the way that he wants to be worshiped.
Amen. Amen.
These people came into the church, stayed in the apostles' doctrines. The Holy Spirit was able to minister. Sell your possessions.
Amen.
Sell your goods and part them to all men as every man had need. This was shortly after Pentecost. But we see one thing that's for sure. They were in a oneness or unity of the Spirit as individuals. Right. And it hit corporately. Watch this now. You're going to see something that you probably never saw. So this happened shortly after Pentecost. So we see the church taking on the oneness mindset. We see them all individually and collectively or corporately unified with the mind of the Spirit. This is where the power and outpour of welfare is found. Oh, yeah, I'm going to say that. I'm going to tell the whole truth tonight. I didn't want to have to be, oh, God help me, but I'm going to tell on myself. I didn't want to have to be unified with anybody else but God. I didn't want to. I'm just being honest, but that's not the will of God. I didn't want my blessing. I didn't want my breakthrough. I didn't want the power of God being based upon whether or not we're in agreement. But he did say this in the word, if two of you come together agreeing, touching anything, it shall be done. So it's got to be an agreement somewhere. But I didn't want that. I didn't want it based on the fact, but he kept ministering to me. And I said, man, look at this here. I couldn't get away from it that yes, as an individual, I'm connected, but there's more strength if we as individuals are connected, because then we become corporately connected and there's a different outpour.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
The call is for us to be unified with the rhema, which is the mind of God. Remember, we are one body. We are one body. We are one body. I can't get away from it, although I'd love to get away with it or away from it. But man, I can't get away. I can't get away from it. We are one body. And the Lord is, man, this is gluing. This should glue us together right tonight. We are one body. That's why he's been stressing and teaching us to stay in the study, to stay in the study. That's why we get on the line Wednesday. We're all hearing and we're all moving. We're all studying. We're all adding to, we're yielding supply, but it's under the same conversation. We are one body. Christ is the head of this body. So if he's the head, he's the mind, which I've already stated, which leads the body. All of the body follows the mind. The whole body. The whole body. See, if we're not moving as the body, then the mind. Oh, and I'm going to tell you, man. When we look at the other account, because there's another account in this. When we see the other account and the danger and why God really really amplified it in me even more. Why he had to wipe away Ananias and Sapphira. Why he had to wipe it away. Why he had to wipe them out. In Acts 2:46-47, before we get there, it says, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, oneness, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So now we just see an outpour on the first 3,000. There's an outpour of absolute favor. Absolute favor. It's just the welfare of God is just moving. It's just moving. Why? Because it says in verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. This is those 3,000. They done got out of debt. So the only thing they had to focus on was staying in the unity of the Spirit.
Amen.
And they continuing daily with one. Can you imagine our church, every one of us out of debt, and the only thing we had to do is stay in the the unity of the Spirit, and then able to move in marketplace and all kinds of things. But everything already is established in our life, and we are free from the bondage of this world. We're free from the entanglements of debts and the affairs of this life. Can you imagine being free, and only thing we have to do is focus on is hearing God and spreading this welfare, spreading this gospel like that, causing more people to be infected with it, causing more people to get in on it, causing more people to come into life and life more abundantly. That's all we did all day, opening businesses, successful this and that, doing things, man, but no worries, no stress, no strain.
Glory.
Hallelujah. So we see here that as they began to experience the welfare, they continued in the mind of Christ, which we've already learned, which his mind was saying. This is what his mind was saying. And I can tell that they stayed in his mind because his mind was saying, stay together, stay in the study and stay together.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he was saying to them. Stay Amen. In the study, stay together.
Amen.
And they did. Here's a prophetic note. The Lord has been establishing this, and I'm saying it again. The Lord has been establishing this in the house of TGM. He has been keeping us all unified by the rhema word. This is prophetic now. Unified as individuals and unified as a congregation. He is truly establishing this welfare system. He is on the brink of outpouring wealth and healing unto the house of TGM. It is truly about to break. And I've been saying this for the last month or two. It's about to break. But we all must stay in the now rhema just as they did. Don't move. He's establishing oneness. Acts 4 and 4. Watch this now. We see another account. This is a whole different account here. The first account accounts for about 3,000 souls. And we see that in that account, there was a move of the Spirit. The move of the Spirit began with signs and wonders. And then it ministered their debt freedom to them, that they, as being one body under the one mind, would come together in the strength of what they had. And I'm not preaching for us to do this, but they came together in the strength of what they had because they were so connected that they sold all their possessions. Well, we see it happen again. I've read this for years, and I always thought it was just one account. It's two. It says in Acts chapter 4, verse 4, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. All right? It says, howbeit many of them. The word many means a multitude of them. All right? And so this is an entirely different account of the souls coming into the kingdom. The first account was about 3,000 being added. The second account was a multitude out of 5,000. This account also took place when Peter and John were about to go to prison. That first account, it was right after Pentecost. Watch the second account and look at the results of new souls coming to the unity and into oneness. The power is revealed, being revealed, and we continue in it. In Acts 4, 32 through 37, it says, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. This is a separate account. This is a whole new move of the Spirit. A multitude of 5,000, or out of the 5,000, were now added, and now we see the same exact oneness being established, the welfare of God being handed over like this. What is God doing? I'll tell you what he's doing. He's trying to spread his welfare in the earth.
Amen.
And
he's spreading his welfare throughout the earth. if I really give you the breakdown, the first 3,000, you have to understand, a lot of those guys were men and brethren from all over the world. So now they're entering into the welfare system. The second wave of souls being added now enters into the same system. Verse 36 says it right here. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, he was a Levite and out of the country of Cyprus. Having land, sold it and brought money and laid it at the apostles' feet. He wasn't in Jerusalem. He wasn't a part of them. But he entered into this welfare system. Why would they mention this guy from Cyprus? Well, the reason being is they're saying someone that's not even close to us tapped into this. He's in on it. And it's a shame. And it's going to tell us why. He had land. He sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Watch this. So new souls that came in ended up in the same mindset again. God, through their oneness, pours out his welfare in the form of power, signs, wonders, and miracles, and debt freedom. His welfare was flowing because of them being individually unified and corporately unified. Here it is again.
Amen. Amen.
The bond of peace was in full effect. They were unified in the spirit. And to the spirit, and the bond of peace was in full effect. Now, this guy, Joseph from Cyprus, comes in and sells. And then we get these two clowns coming in. Forgive me, Lord. We get these two people coming in, and they try to play with this mindset. And they try to play with it. So they're saying a guy that's from another country came in and sold and gave his land and laid it down at the apostles' feet. Yep, Barnabas. Yep, he came in from Cyprus and did this. These guys are here, Ananias and Sapphira, they're like locals. It says, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. How do I know they're local? Because they sold their land and they kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? That hit me there, boy. That's powerful. Now I know how they lied to the Holy Ghost. They lied to the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost was in oneness with everybody else. They were in oneness, selling their possessions and laying down their all that they had at the apostles' feet. These two came in acting like they were connected to the plan and to the mind of God. They were acting like it. That's where the danger came in. God was establishing his welfare through true and authentic oneness, and these two came in acting like they were in oneness.
Jesus.
It says here, and they kept back part of the price of the, it says, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep that part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. I understand it, because they were acting like they were in oneness. They were trying to watch me now. They were trying to hold on to the strength they had, with the wealth they had, the money they had, and get God's money, and get God's welfare. They were acting like they were releasing their strength.
Jesus.
But in essence, they were not releasing their strength. They were holding on to their strength and trying to get God's too.
Wow.
God was moving in the church. He had, the church was unlocked. And then the Lord further told me, he said, Todd, he said, you know what would have happened? Had I not done what I did, he said they would have broken the oneness and the unity that I was creating. The church was built on the foundation of oneness and unity, and the bond of peace was freely flowing in the church. He said they would have broken it because others would have lost, listen, they would have lost the mind of God.
Jesus.
Saying, well, whether they didn't give all, so why? I'd like a refund, please. They would have more. God didn't care about the money. He cared about the people losing his mindset. It would have spread and people would have been started. They would have started saying, well, they didn't do it, so why should I? They didn't do it, so why should I? They don't do it, so why should I? Jesus. And that's exactly what's going around the church now. You have some in the mindset of God and others not. And then others hear that they're not, and they begin to follow the ones that are not.
And
there's a disconnect. And so the welfare system of God now is at a halt. Jesus. And the young man arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. Peter was trying to see whether she was down with her husband or did her husband do this by himself. And she was being tried and she was down with the plan of her husband to hold on to their strength too. She said, uh-huh. Yeah, we sold it for so much. So then all of a sudden, then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. You see, the connection had been truly made in the church. The Holy Spirit was in full operation. He had received a full endorsement from Christ to pour out his welfare. Ananias and Sapphira came in acting as though they were unified, only wanting the benefits of his welfare and holding on to some of theirs as well. But that it wasn't the fact that they kept back. It was the fact that they were playing like they were connected to the mind of God.
Amen. Amen.
It had nothing to do with the money. It had everything to do with them lying and saying that they were unified and really hearing the plan like everybody else was. And then the greed side of it, trying to put their hands out to receive from the welfare system that God had just implemented. They never qualified for it. They were fraud. Anybody that's been on welfare knows when you're caught doing fraud, you get cut off of welfare. They got caught doing fraud. Here's a prophetic note that the Lord gave me. There is a move. There's a move of God coming to this house. There's a move of God coming to this house. Make sure you're all in and in full agreement to this Rhema word. Make sure that you are in authentic agreement. Because when his welfare starts and you begin to receive it, please, I implore you, that should say, that you remain in the unity of the Spirit by the bonds of peace, of being in peace. Don't move outside of that. I'm reminded of Deuteronomy, that if they do wrong after God began to do right by them, I'm reminded strongly, he began to tell them what would happen to them if they, as God is implementing his system, his welfare system, and he's showing forth his hand and establishing us. Stay in the unity of the Spirit. Don't move from it. Let it become how you truly live. Listen, I'm not just saying this because you're going to drop dead like Ananias and Sapphira. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just telling you, don't play with this. Don't move left or don't move right. Please don't look back. Please don't look back like Lot's wife. Don't look back. When God begins to do this, continue to flow in it. God is, what is he doing? He's preparing you for times that are going to come. He's preparing you for days that are going to be dark and ugly in this world. He doesn't want you dealing with the strength of this world, the unrighteous mammon. He wants you in a place where you're trusting him, believing him, and seeing his welfare system take care of you.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah.
He wants you in position for it. He doesn't want you looking over your shoulder. Because the days are coming, says God, where things are not going to be easy on this earth for them that are outside my welfare system. Stay joined. There's a move coming. And God wants us in oneness. He wants to bless the house. And I give you final confirmation that he wants to bless the house. In Psalms 133, verses 1 through 3, it says, a song of degrees of David. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment or the precious anointing oil that was upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. There's an anointing created in oneness. Why? Because we have agreement in the spirit. We together are unified in the spirit. And my God, by being unified, it creates an anointing. And in this anointing, verse 3 says, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. The blessing is commanded here, and eternal life is found here. We go from glory to glory because we stayed in the study together. We endeavored together. He didn't move. Kurt said it prophetically, and I loved hearing it. He said, Lord, please, Lord, continue to teach us how to stay in the study. How to stay in the study, how to walk in your welfare. He said it, and it blessed me because that's exactly what God has placed in my spirit. It's as the dew of Hermon. It's as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, comma, even life forevermore. The Lord wants us in a place of unity, and he's going to do it by way of the word. He wants everybody's attention. He wants everybody's focus to be heightened. He wants all of our focus to be heightened. He wants all of our ears to be more attentive. He wants us to stay here. Recognize while we're here the joining that we're under. Recognize the covenant of his peace. Recognize, please judge. Judge the food that is in your tillage. Judge that all food is, all provisions are in your tillage. Please start to thank him for the welfare. Start to thank him for the prosperity. Start to thank him. I mean, thank him. Thank him for the favor that he's procuring over your life. Thank him. Recognize, judge it. Let his welfare explode, and let it explode unto all that are listening to this message and listening to the Rhema word in this house. Let it explode, because that's exactly what he intends to do. He's not training you to keep you in Rhema for no reason. He's unifying us. His son prayed the prayer, Father, make them one even as we are one. Why, Jesus? Because if you're one with each other, it means you're one with me first. And if you're one with me, ask and you shall receive. Ask and you shall receive. But the enemy doesn't want that. He doesn't want you in oneness. He doesn't want you in oneness. He wants to keep you focused on your own strength, your own abilities. He wants to keep you there. Don't let him keep you there. It's not worth it, because the welfare of God goes far beyond what you could ever think, ask, or even imagine. And it creates an anointing. I pride myself that in this house, when we take on a task and we begin to pray, God hears us when we pray. But God wants to strengthen our ranks. He wants to strengthen us even yes, the more so. He wants to strengthen us. He wants to make us all stronger here.
Yes.
He wants to open our eyes together. He wants us to open our mouths together. Do you realize on the day of Pentecost that they begin to open their mouths and speak the word together? He wants to put us on display, and I don't want to give this to anybody else. I don't want to forfeit this. I heard you when you said it the other day, Elder Don, that if we don't do it, he'll cause someone else to. I'm not forfeiting this. I'm not forfeiting it. If I go with one other person, I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to believe him. I'm going to believe him all the way until it happens. I don't care.
Amen, Apostle. Amen, Apostle.
If I got to go, Let me tell you something. Many were called to the marriage supper, but folks had on the wrong garments and they couldn't come in. So he said, go to the highways and the hedges. Go find those people. Go find them. Tell them to come in. But many were called to it. The garment we need to get into the marriage supper, the garment we need to get into that feast, it's the mind of Christ through the rhema word. And we can sit at his table. Vocation is that feast. We were called unto it. But the ticket in is unity. The unity of the Spirit. Let's go. Come on, let's go. I speak strength into your spirit right now. Man of God, woman of God, I speak strength into your mind right now. I speak strength, the strength of the Lord to re-enter. I say unto the ancestry of Rhema that's in your soul, awaken, rise up. Awaken and rise up. I speak to the root of Rhema that's in you. Be nourished, be filled with water. Be vibrant, makushtinna barandi. Be vibrant and come alive. I speak to the areas. I speak even to dry bones that you begin to live by way of the rhema that's on the inside of you. I speak unto your spirit and your soul, and I say, rise up in the rhema that God has placed in you already. It's alive and it's well. It's full of power. I speak unto your soul right now. And my brother's keeper. I am my brother's keeper. Strength and power belongs to you. Hallelujah. He's called us together. He's truly called us together. There's no getting around it. Our togetherness becomes his anointing. Our togetherness does unlock a whole nother dimension of his welfare. It truly does. And the more that are added, the more the welfare grows, the benefits get stronger and better. How? Because every time someone's added, he's given gifts unto men.
Mm-hmm.
More gifts are coming, more the anointing showing up, more wealth, more resource. Every time he adds, every time he connects another, it gets stronger and stronger. The body is coming together. The body's being healed. The body will walk. The body will minister. The body will display his glory.
Hallelujah.
Ah, yes, Lord. Whoo, yes, Lord. That's why the enemy wants to divide. He wants to conquer. He wants to keep us from getting in this word together. He wants to. Me and my daughter Elizabeth have a relationship in the word, but there are times and moments where the enemy tries to shut our mouths from speaking to one another. I cancel that in Jesus' name. And I'm not talking about because we're fighting, because life is happening and we're not in the rhema together. We stop, we pause, and we get in the rhema, get filled, and favor continues. I'm not losing that sinew. I'm not losing that ligament. They stayed in the apostles' doctrine. They stayed in fellowship. Joints were supplying each other. The body staying strong. I got another revelation here, even in that the one true seed is seen. His body is seen when we're unified.
Amen.
And God only blesses the one true seed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No more islands in our ministry. No more islands. Sound the alarm of all trumpets tonight, Jesus.
Yes, God.
Sound the alarm of all trumpets tonight, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Sound the alarm of all trumpets. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. Ah, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, God, yes. I give you glory. I give you glory. Oh, God, I give you glory. I give you glory. Master, I give you glory, Jesus. Some comments came in. Kurt says amen. Jay says amen. Javon says amen. Elder Tana says amen. Daryl says powerful. Oh, glory. Curtis says Ananias and his wife were leaven. God wouldn't allow, come on now, come on, man. God wouldn't allow that leaven to affect the whole lump. Come on now, come on. Yes, Lord. Ooh, Jay says it would have spread. It would have spread like leaven. It sure enough would have. They had that mind together. You know, TGM, how many times that we've had that mind together, that we carry that same mind, that oneness, we carry it together. When Evangelist Darrell came back, he said, I listened to everyone teach. He said, they all sound like you. I said, I know, it's amazing. It's because we stay in the study together and they take it and go further and they grab more. They grab more. To him that has, more is given, and keeps us in the mind of God. And there is an outpour. There's an outpour, and we need to understand there is an outpour. There's the blessing of God that is due unto this house. It's due to this house. The welfare of God, it's due to this house. We qualify for the welfare of God, for the blessing of the Lord, for healing and all kinds of endowments. We qualify. God wants us to know that. Elder Donna says, amen, amen, and amen. Evangelist Darrell says, reached to Ananias. Reacted to Ananias and his wife with thumbs up. 1 Corinthians 6:17, but he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Amen. 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 Jay reacted to Ananias and his wife with thumbs up. Mm, mm, mm. Hallelujah. Look at this, man. All right.
Amen.
All right.
Amen, Lord.
Right. All right.
Amen.
Yes, God. Lord. I hear the Lord say, you receive your covenant rights. You receive your rights to the new covenant that's in my blood. Receive them. Receive them. These are your rights for staying in my mind, for staying unified by the rhema word. You've kept a glimpse, and you that have kept the glimpse are recipients to these rights. My welfare is yours. You've kept the glimpse, and I told you there's affirmation to them that do. Receive my welfare. Receive the full endowment of my peace. It belongs to you individually, and it belongs to those of you who corporately have stayed and remained in the study. For staying and remaining in the study, you've endeavored to stay in the unity of the Spirit. The bonds of peace have kept you. Receive. Just receive. Ooh, Jesus. Yes, Lord. 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 Namah Ophelia. Yes, Lord. My goodness. My goodness. Ooh, glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Master.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Master.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you. There's an anointing moving right now. Just be still for a few moments. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Master. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, Master, I give you glory. I give you glory. I give you glory, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Go. Amen. Amen. In the height of your hearing, if you want to sow a seed on something that you heard, you can sow a seed in the height of your hearing. You can give, but do it from the height of what you heard tonight, something that was a fragment to you, something that you heard. Do it from there. Do it from there. Sow from that position. Sow from that place there. Glory be to God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. If you're going to do it via Cash App, you can do it. $ True Gospel Mints. And just look for the True Gospel Ministry logo. If you're going to do it with the online banking, you can Zelle to truegospelmins@aol.com. But do it, whatever you sow, whether it be your tithe, your first fruit, free will offering, whatever you're giving, please do it from the height of what you heard tonight. Meditate and listen to the Rhema word. This is instruction to you. Meditate and listen to the rhema that blessed you. And then from there, how it's already established you in propitiation, which is absolute peace. From right there, oh glory, from right there, begin to thank him for his welfare, thank him for the benefits of his peace. And as you're thanking him, release your seed, release it there, release it in. And as you're ministering unto him, release it from there. Release it from there. It's going to go right into the hands of the Lord. Take the time to do that. Take the time to do that. For those of you that are sowing and those of you that are giving, take the time to do that. And I mean, take your time in doing that. You don't have to get it because the lights are still on and because on the screen and because we're still online together. You can take the time after we're done and just take some time and do that. I am going to absolutely take some time with him right now. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. My God, my God, my God. We're going to lay down some of that strength, laying it down, and we will be in total oneness. We will be completely unified because we're following the Spirit, following his reign. So right there, I'm going to release you right there.
Amen.
I'm going to release you right there. And you guys be blessed tonight. You be blessed. And just take the time with them after there's an anointing that's just saturating. And take the time within that anointing. My God in heaven. My God. Amen. Amen. Phil Allison, amen.
Amen.